everybody. I'm Bozma St. John, and you're listening to Back to Biz with Katie and Boz. Except I am by my damn self, okay? Because Katie is sprinting towards her book deadline, and so she's left me all by my lonesome. But today, I'm not by my lonesome. You know why? Because I've got the fabulous Ashley Graham with me.
Woo! I am so happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, Ashley, I love you. I just love you.
Man. You know, since day one, I think it was a love affair. Do you remember the year that was?
Oh, girl. I don't know.
I know. I should have actually done like the research on what year it was, because it was Glamour. It was Glamour Woman of the Year.
Yes.
And then they just kept putting us together and stuff. And then that was it. They just knew.
I feel like we kept seeing each other at places.
Yes.
And then we were like, you know what? I think we should just be best friends. Like that was it.
That feels like
what the universe was telling us. And then plus, I love Justin, your hubby.
Oh, thank you. He loves you.
I was showing him tough love though, because I kind of felt like your cousin who need to give him a hard time. You know what I mean? So
he can't know though.
He's all the way in. You know what I mean? Because you my girl.
Yeah, but you know what? That's the best, because Justin's such a teaser. All day long teasing and joking. But then Lael and I are like, I mean, she's my little sister. That's it.
Oh, I know.
That's it.
And she's
Isaac's auntie.
Oh my gosh. Isaac. Oh, God. We have so much to talk about. Like, seriously.
We do.
Because, honey, we were having jokes, you know, prior to this conversation about you.
Who's we?
Because we, as in like the producers, myself, we were having jokes because, girl, you have done so much. Okay. Oh. You are so much. At one point, Lauren said she just had to just go ahead and Google Ashley Graham launches. Because it just felt like you kept uncovering launches. You know what I mean? Like, you are not just a mom, even though you're a fabulous, amazing, wonderful new mom, but you're a fashion and beauty icon, girl. Icon. Change maker. Rule breaker. A TV host. A producer. An activist. A wife. Somebody's daughter. My bestie. Come on, titles. Okay. Did you catch the spirit?
I feel like I'm turning red over here.
Yes, yes, yes. But all of the titles, because you are so much and you mean so much. And so I'm going to give you all your flowers right now. Okay. Because I truly feel that you have absolutely not just disrupted the way that we look at fashion and beauty. I'm talking about like shattered, disrupted, changed everything. Nothing was done the same afterwards. Okay. Let's just go ahead and claim that. Amen. But also the fact that you're an entrepreneur who keeps going, who keeps launching, and even in this time of COVID. So we're going to talk about all of that. Well, as much as we can in this time.
Okay, bet.
Okay, so we got to start, though, from the beginnings of time, okay? Because you're in Nebraska right now, right? You in Nebraska?
I am in Nebraska. Justin, Isaac, and I came with my mom to Nebraska the second week of March. And we were like, we left New York because we just didn't know what was going to happen. I thought we were going to be gone for 3 weeks. I didn't even pack everything. And it's been 4 months now. And it's been a very interesting time, as everybody has been having. Mm-hmm. But I'm in Nebraska. I'm in the same home that I grew up in, that I went to high school in, you know, a little bit of different furniture, because my mom has a boyfriend now that's living with us. Yes. So it's her boyfriend, me and Justin and Isaac. And Isaac, Justin, and I have taken over the whole basement, and then they have upstairs. So it kind of, and her basement is bigger than my New York size apartment. Just putting that out there. We have been able to breathe.
Yes.
But it has brought me back to like, wow, this is where it all started. This is where it all began, was like here in Nebraska. These are where my roots are. And so much of me has been like, New York, New York, New York, New York until I die. And now I'm like back in a suburb. I see green outside of me. Isaac loves the grass. And I'm like, okay, do I want the suburb life also? Because I'll never give up my apartment in New York. So it brings a lot of perspective. And I kind of I love it because I like to be a person who can go back and look at what I've done, where I've come from, and be excited for myself and the same for the people around me. And that's exactly what this has done.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about that, though, your beginnings in Nebraska? Because, yes. You know, I feel that all of us, like our own origin stories,
you know, like stories about Midwest. Sort
I of. Mean, listen, right here, Colorado, yeah. Ride or die.
Yeah.
There have been so many assumptions, you know, made about Midwesterners.
Yes.
And the way in which the middle behaves or thinks.
This is true. This is true.
Talk a little bit about you there then. Like, then, what was that like? Who was Ashley then? What were you like?
Oh, man.
Are you you like you are now? Or you were different?
Yes. No, nothing has changed. And this laugh hasn't changed. The creepy thing is my mom has the same laugh. So if you hear her laugh and you hear mine, you don't know the difference. Anyways,
oh my God.
I moved here in eighth grade from Texas. So it wasn't a culture shock, but it was very different, Texas to Nebraska. Mm-hmm. And when I got here, I was in eighth grade. I was incredibly curvy. I just started modeling. And I remember my mom is from Nebraska. And one of her things that always growing up was she said, you have to be a hard worker. Hard work will pay off. And that is something that people in the Midwest really stand true to, is their hard work ethics. And I come from a family and a lineage of farmers. And they have worked their butts off and continue to this day. And I feel like that's in my blood. And I feel like that's how the people of even just the Midwest, I can say it broadly, but Lincoln, Nebraska, you meet incredibly nice people and incredibly hardworking people. And I really love that about the Midwest.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Well, did you feel like that helped you, like as you then left?
Yeah. Nebraska? I mean, that has been the ethos of who I am in my career. If it weren't for the fact that I stuck to my guns and bulldozed through any boundary that was put in my way, that was because of the ethics that my mother gave me. The niceness, I mean, I was dropped into an industry that was known as the Mean Girls Club, the mean everybody's club, really. And if you're not this, that, or the other, then you're out. And forget about next season. You're definitely out. And I was nice throughout the whole thing. My mom always told me kindness will get you farther in life than anything. And it has proven in my career. I think that a smile, a genuine how are you, and play by the rules will get you incredibly far.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's so true. Okay. So we're going to get back to your career for a second. But I do want to talk about your mom and this intergenerational living arrangement that you're in, because clearly COVID has disrupted all of our lives. Like you said, you thought you were going to be in Nebraska for 3 weeks, and here you are 4 months later, and we don't even know how long the hell we're going to be in our situations. And so what has that been like? Like, you know, returning back to Nebraska and living in the house where you grew up in with your mom and her man and your man and your new little man. That's a lot going on there.
So I think that we must be very abnormal because it's working. Nobody has gotten into a fight. There hasn't been any issues. We've had friends come and go. We had family come and go. And all through the midst of all of it, we have really been working. Like, everybody kind of knows their role. Like, my mom is the nanny when I'm on a Zoom or a podcast. Michael is MacGyver, and he's been doing house projects. They just redid a bathroom. They put up a stone wall on the porch. Justin has found every coffee shop in Lincoln, and he's been editing films. And I have just been like feeling so just incredibly happy that I can have these precious moments with Isaac, that I'm not on a plane 24/7. I knew that 2-3 months after having him, my team would probably have been like, hey, you got this, you got that. In fact, I had things planned.
Yes.
But silver lining is I have been able to spend every waking moment with him, and it is such a blessing.
Oh, God. It is.
Yes.
It's so true. It's such a blessing. Similar to you, my mom has been living with us during this quarantine time. Yep. And so it's of course, her, myself, and Lael in the house. So it's just female energy. That's in the house. Intergenerational female energy. And we are making it. I don't know if we're as perfect as y'all, okay? But we're doing our best.
I grew up with two sisters. I get it.
Yep. But you know, it's all a learning. Let's just, you know, I'm going to put that silver lining on it. It's all a learning. Okay.
It is. And also, you'll look back on this and you'll be so happy that you spent this time with your mom.
Oh my gosh.
And Lael with her grandma forever.
You're right.
Forever.
You're right.
That's how I'm looking at it. I'm like, I get this time with my mom. And my mom and I talk about death like it's really not a, like, it's a conversation that we have. And she's like, okay, when I die, like, she tells me where her things are and this and that. And we talk about it. And she told me, she was like, just think about this time that when you look back, we're going to have had this. And it's always like, yeah, that's a good way to think about it.
When we come back, Ashley and all those damn labels. You're listening to Back to Biz with Katie and Bose, and I'm chatting with my friend, model, mom, entrepreneur, Ashley Graham. Let's get back to it. Can you talk a little bit about when you began modeling and what actually made you think about how to innovate and change within that space? Because it's enough to just be who you are in the space. I mean, listen, there are lots of people who are in the spaces or the industries they are in and trying to achieve just being different in that space. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's enough work. Like, you get all the trophies and medals just for having broken barriers, being who you are. But then, girl, you have to go ahead and innovate too. Can you talk a little bit about that? Like, you're modeling, but where did those thoughts come from, start off?
Well, I think where it really began was knowing that after a certain amount of years of modeling, I mean, I started when I was 12 years old and I moved to New York at 17. I left Nebraska. It was in 05. And my mom and dad said, if you don't make it in New York, you're going to have to move back and you're going to have to go to college. And you're talking to a dyslexic, ADD, barely like I just kind of like slid through high school with C's. And whatever it took, I did not want to go to college. So I did whatever it took. And I worked my butt off. I took every job. I said yes to everything. And that was the beginning of my agency realizing, oh, this girl's down. She's like, she's actually ready and we can throw her into anything. So then it was probably about 4 or 5 years later when I was married. I think it was just a year that Justin and I had been married, and my career was great. I was top of the line catalog girl, Lane Bryant model, just had a commercial that was banned from TV, and it was
I remember that too, by the way.
It wasn't necessarily like my name was put on the map, but people in the industry were like, oh, that's that girl. And Justin came home and it was maybe a year after that. And Justin had come home and I was still on the couch where he had left from the morning that he had gone to work. Mm. He's like, wow, you're still in the same position on the couch. And I was like, it was one of those really proud wife moments. Like,
yeah.
And he was... And around that time, he said, what do you want? What is it that is going to make you happy? And because he knew that I felt really stagnant in the career that I was at that moment. And it got my wheels turning because I thought that from that commercial, I could really capitalize off of it and turn it into something. Mm-hmm. And although I did much later, I thought it was going to happen faster. And I think that for me, everything has been a building block on top of the other. And it hasn't come just so quickly, but it's come with time. And it's also come with having my ears open. And so when Justin said that to me, it was like, you're right. What do people know me as? How can I really amplify By the way, haven't we been saying the word amplify so much? I love it. And I'm sure we'll get to that.
We will.
And how to amplify my voice and to really, and to, or not just my voice, but my name and what I really wanted to change in the industry. Mm-hmm. And that was start a lingerie line. So I went to a few companies and I said, hey, I want to do a lingerie line. I'm known as a lingerie girl. Cause that was a question I asked myself. Who do people know me as? Oh, they know me. Oh, you're that lingerie girl. So I started my lingerie line and I went to a few CEOs, but it ended up being CEO of De Chanel, Rosalind Griner. And I said, I want to make bras that look like this. And I lifted up my shirt to her and I said, but you see this spillage and you see that? And I said, it's not cute. And she's like, great, let's do it. Within a couple months, we had the contract written up. And the next year, my capsule collection launched because who knew there was 25 components to a bra and it took a year to make.
I don't know.
So that was the beginning of, oh, this is more than just modeling. But through that, also, I had always been called a plus size model. There was always a label kind of looming over me. And here we are, we're in a day and age where labels are disgusting. Nobody wants to be labeled. Yet people still put you in a box for who you are and who you stand for and who you're rooting for and who you're not rooting for. Mm-hmm. And all I simply wanted was to just be accepted for who I was, Ashley, the model, period. So I just kept talking about it. And I think now, looking back, that was the best thing I could have done, was just continue to talk about the change I wanted and my experiences through my own life, like with cellulite, like with dating, like with eating, my experiences around my body, my insecurities. Who knew everybody else in the world also had insecurities?
Yes. Who knew?
I think it was really then. And it was Justin kind of knocking on my door and pushing me, but also me realizing that I needed to have patience throughout this whole thing because I'm 32 now. So here we are 20 years in the game.
Besides Justin, were there any other allies, or how did you find the wherewithal to be like, you know what? Yeah, I know some lingerie companies. I'm going to go figure this out.
When I tell you, you know, as a model, you think that your agency is going to hold your hand through a lot of things. And I tell a lot of young models, do it on your own. You know, I had an agent tell me, we're the ones who open the door up for you. You're the one who's invited back in. And when she told me that, it was an eye opener because it was like, oh, you're just telling me that you can call them, but I need to do the work. And that's with any career, any category that you want to actually get into, because nobody's going to do the work for you. Nobody is going to sign up for you. You have to take a leap of faith. You have to get uncomfortable in a new situation. And that's the only place you're going to actually find growth. And that's what I did. And I would be on set talking to the CEOs, to the presidents, and being like, hey, let's have a, you know, over lunch, over catering. And it's like, so I've been thinking about.
It's amazing.
And that's it. Because I told my agency at the time, I said, I want to do a lingerie line. They said, oh, no, 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 no. They said no to me. And then I came to them and said, well, I'm going to be doing this. And of course, they got to collect a check because that was the contract that I had. And those are also learning curves that I had to learn. It's like, you know, who am I signing my name away to? What am I signing my name away to? So I'm glad that I had the right people in my court as far as attorneys and advisors like that.
Yes, but you're telling us, and that's wonderful, because yes. I think part of it is also sharing, you know, sharing the knowledge that you have as you go along. And as I said before, you know, I obviously am a fan, not just your friend, but a fan of your work because of how relentless you are in the pursuit of continuing to create. You know, it's very impressive trait.
Thank you. I'm not tired. I want to change the world. I think that there's just, that's it, right?
Yes.
Also, as a mother, there's like a new strength that builds up in you, I believe. And there's just so much to be done. And it's like, okay, checklist, or check, check, check. Okay, what are my new what's my new checklist? Mm. And I'm not afraid. I'm not, I think that a lot of, and I don't want to speak for every woman, but I think that there are some women who, maybe even just people, maybe I shouldn't just say women, but I just work with so many women. It's like, I don't want to ruffle anybody's feathers. Mm. Oh, I can't do that because of X, Y, and Z. Or do you think that that's the right idea? I think it's always the right idea. Go for what you want. Go, you know, you always will hear like, go after what you believe in and what you see for yourself. But if you're not actually going to put into action those things, then they're just not going to come forth for you.
Yes. Yes. It's like put forth into action. Yes, let's snap it up. Snap it up.
Because yes. That's, no, it's important. Exactly right. It's important.
It's so important. Now, you know, like I said, you've had quite a few launches. And I'm also a big fan of bragging on myself and on other people. But I because this is your moment, okay, I want you to tell us, all right? Tell us the people, all the things that you have launched and created, because I just think it's so inspiring. No, we really need to hear it. Because like you just said, you know, you could have continued to be successful as a model. And girl, not just the, you know, the commercial, which was banned, but also, you know, your SI cover. Vogue,
yeah, that came later.
Just a little bit ago. You know what I'm saying? Like there have been some breakthroughs on the modeling front, but you have done the extra work of being on a set and talking to somebody. Okay. Not just there to do the job you're doing, but doing the job that you want to get also.
Yes. Yes.
Tell us, girl. Tell us. Give us
oh, God.
The launches.
Just go
the
down
products.
The list of everything.
Just do it. Just do it. Let us be lingerie. Odd, girl. Let us be
let
odd.
Me just,
go ahead.
Let me just try to go. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. There's lingerie, swim, yes. Denim, clothing of all sorts. I have a book. I have a Barbie. I'm a producer of a few different shows. I have a workout series on YouTube called Thank Bod. I have a show called Fearless on EllenTube. I have a podcast called Pretty Big Deal.
Cause you are a pretty big deal. Hello. And it's clever.
Thank you. I've had a lot of amazing covers, gosh, I hate talking about myself like this. This is very weird.
I love it.
This is the thing, which is also really cool, is that a lot of things is I'm the first curvy model to do a lot of it, which I mean, you know, but this is the way it should. This is the way it should be. We should be having representation of everybody at the table, period. Mm-hmm. But I was just thinking about Revlon and being an ambassador and having a contract with them. I mean, like,
yes,
beauty contracts. You know, I always had somebody tell me, you know, you're skinny from the neck up. So who cares? And I'm like, but what? What is that supposed to mean? I know.
What is so, that supposed
trust me,
to mean?
I've heard it all. If you've heard it, I've heard it. And that's it. You know?
Oh, my God. When we come back, Ashley and I talk about the change that's in the air and on the ground. You're listening to Back to Biz with Katie and Bose. And now Ashley and I are going to talk about Share the Mic Now. This was an initiative created by me and three other friends where we asked white women on Instagram to give up their platforms for 24 hours to black women with powerful stories who could share their narratives with a new audience. I'm so proud that Ashley Graham was one of the white women who said yes. And she gave up her platform to Opal Tometi, who, by the way, has been a guest on this show before and is the co-founder of Black Lives Matter. So let's pick back up with Ashley right now. I do want to talk to you about this rule-breaking person that you are, because diversity just does come in all kinds of ways. But we are in a specific moment right now.
Yep.
Where we're talking about all kinds of racial unrest, things that need to change. You have been such an advocate, such a voice in fashion and beauty specifically, but of course across many entertainment spectrums that we've just discussed. Talk to me about what you are thinking right now. Like, where is your heart? Where's your head? Where's your spirit? You know, as we think about all of the things that are coming to the surface and this moment of reckoning that we're in, especially in the industries that you're in.
Thank God. This is a very tough time to be in right now. I think that it's hard for a lot of people to hear some of this stuff. It in some ways is surprising, which I think is wild, but that it's surprising. And it needs to happen. Everything that's happening right now needs to happen. And I am so glad that there have been so many conversations. I'm so glad that I've been having those conversations prior to all of this coming out, with my husband, with my best friends, you know, because these are the conversations that now people are saying, oh, you have to have these conversations. But where my head is right now is that, okay, how can I, as a white woman, continue to educate the white people around me? Because I have seen, and I'm sorry, I'm just going there with you right now. You
yes.
I mean,
please
I'm just
go.
Following
let's,
your
let's
lead.
Let's keep going. Go, go,
okay.
go. Yes,
okay.
go.
I have seen so many of my black friends and even my husband who it's like they get off the phone and or they've gotten so many text messages and they're just exhausted by having to have explain and talk and and explain what's happening. And I'm not saying that I'm an expert or I know much at all, but what I do know, I'm able to talk to my family about. What I do know, I'm able to talk to my white friends about. And I'm able to say, okay, this is what you can do to help. Because I think that there are a lot of people who don't know what to do right now. And they are feeling nervous or like they don't want to say or do the wrong thing.
Yes.
But in reality, being silent is doing the wrong thing. Being silent is being a part of the problem. Mm-hmm. So right now, my feeling is disgust. My feeling is I'm horrified, but I'm also so glad that things are happening because it feels like real change is here. Mm-hmm. And I can even just see like there's a different kind of hope in some people's eyes.
Yes, it's true. There is. And I do feel that. I feel like this is different. I really do. Maybe it's the optimist in me that's speaking.
But there's, you know, the initiative that we did was Share the Mic, which, by the way, thank you for asking me to do that.
Oh, can we pause on that for a second, though? Because I also have to say this, which is that very much like Justin or any of your other, you know, black friends, I was so exhausted, so tired. You know, it was as if there was like a call that went out that said, check on your black friends. And I was like, wait,
check
hold on.
Check on your black friends.
Just
yes.
hold on. I don't need y'all to call me because I'm tired. Okay. And I don't want to talk right now. And I was sitting in my house unbathed without brushing my teeth, exhausted. I didn't want to talk to anybody. And it was blackout Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to the only people I really wanted to talk to was the only person I really want to talk to was Lovey Ajayi Jones, who's a good girlfriend. And, she calls herself the professional troublemaker. And that's the only person I really want to talk to because I was like, girl, how can we start some trouble? Okay. but through that conversation and talking to Glennon Doyle, as you know, and Stacey Bendit, we came up with the idea. And the idea to find white women who had big platforms, you know, who have followings, who may not actually be very diverse in their own curated social channels, right? Because it's not even so much about you, but it's like, you know, the people who follow you, who have decided who they're following, and perhaps it's not as diverse. And so how could we insert a different narrative into those platforms? And what I have to say about you, sister, is that I think I texted you maybe like three lines. Like I was like, girl, this is what we're going to do. You down? And you didn't ask me who else was going to do it. You didn't say, what do I have to do? You didn't say, when do I have to do it? And what did you say? No, you just said yes. You just said yes. And I don't think we have actually had that conversation of what that meant to me. You know, how much it meant because your simple yes without any qualifiers was affirmation that not only as your black girlfriend, but just as a human being who you support and love and that you trust. And I was not 100% feeling that in the world. So thank you for doing that.
Well, you're welcome. I mean, honestly, I can't give myself a pat on the back because, first of all, I want to be a part of anything you do because you're badass. You're badass both. Second of all, I think that I had a feeling. I was like, oh, she's about to do some wild shit. Right. Let's go.
Facts.
I don't know what it is, but let's
go. All the facts.
And sure enough, we did some wild shit. And then everybody followed suit. It was like, and that was great. Like,
yeah.
Oh my gosh. So many other hashtags and things like
yes.
Here the mic came out. And I thought that was great. But it was my honor and my privilege to be a part of something like that. I'm so glad you guys put that together.
It was so wonderful. And I really do love seeing the generations, you know, that have come out of it. Like I think yesterday somebody tagged me in like, you know, share the mic now doctors. I was like, oh word.
Cool.
Oh, we got
cool.
doctors who are sharing the mic. That's fantastic. Go ahead, y'all, do it.
So did the birth of Share the Mic come out of just purely your exhaustion through everything that was happening?
Yes. Yes. And this is what I actually told Glennon, which was that like, I was so tired of screaming into the wind. That's what it feels like. I was like, I have been saying this for years. I have been talking at the top of my lungs. And it feels like I'm just screaming into the wind and just coming back in my face. You know? And so I was like, I need some new spaces. I need different places where people haven't heard this before. And that's going to make the difference. And so, yes, it was you and Arianna Huffington and Julia Roberts and the people.
Let me just say, the Zoom, the first Zoom we had, I was clicking through and I was like, oh, word, Brie Larson. Like, oh, word, Ashley Judd.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Like, and then it was just like, and then the athletes and Mandy Moore. I love This Is Us. And then it was just so funny because Glennon was there and we were all just kind of like, oh, hello, this is so normal. Like, we're just all here, very normal.
Casual. It's just a casual day where a bunch of powerful black and white women get together to change the world.
Yes. And then, of course, I was looking up a lot of the black women. I was like, oh, I already follow her. That's fabulous. Like Rachel Cargill. Oh, my gosh. Because she just like spits it to you truthfully and directly. And I love that. I love her page. And even Opal, who I did share the mic with, she's such a sweet, kind, soft-spoken woman who has so much fire in her that she's done so much with Black Lives Matter. I was honored to have her take over my Instagram. So,
I mean,
I just think that you guys did a fantastic job and I'm excited to see where else it goes and how this just continues to change people's perspective and how they're continuing to learn and grow from this. Because this was a great tool, I think, for Black women to get things off of their chest that they've wanted to, that they've been saying on their own socials.
Yes.
But they could say it on a white woman's social who those followers were probably not following her.
Yeah.
And
that's
I thought that was just, that was the key thing there. That was fantastic.
Yes.
My followers loved it. They thought that they missed Opal. They were DMing me like, did she already come on? Like, where was she? I've been waiting all day. And I'm like, sorry, her timing. God.
You're like, I'm sorry. It's just me. You know what I mean? Like, I think it was just, it was so wonderful. It was really a great exercise. And I shared the mic with Kourtney Kardashian.
Yes.
And so even on her, you know, socials and with her followers who definitely weren't in my space, you know, and I wasn't in theirs, was really fascinating, you know, to be on the live and to see their comments and to interact. And I really do hope, I hope that it opened up, you know, a window that we are going to be able to see more people who are willing to listen to people who are not like them, you know, and
to
hear opinions that they didn't know were even, you know, founded. And so I really truly hope that that's happening.
Well, sign me up for the next one. I'm ready.
Girl, okay. You know, I got your phone number, girl. I'm going to call you. But actually, speaking of hope, Can you talk about what is hopeful? Like, what are you hopeful about? What are the things that, you know, even in this time, as we've talked about COVID and all your businesses, I'm sure there's, you know, some changes that have been made because of it, you know, and the ways that you're going to try to innovate in this time. What are your hopes for the near future, even as we continue on in this space?
You know, the biggest thing, I mean, I think every category has a different hope. And like in businesses, I really hope that a lot of the people who have lost their jobs come out of this and find success on the other side. I think for me as a mother right now, I am so incredibly hopeful for my son who is Black, and he is now in an era where things are shifting and changing. And when I got pregnant, I thought about how I'm going to be raising a young Black boy in this era, in this generation. What does that mean? And now knowing what I know and seeing a change that's happening, and it may not be happening as quickly as we may all like it to be, but it's happening, gives me hope. And it gives a perspective of clarity that he may be okay later. He's going to have a great life regardless of everything that's happening. And I'm hopeful for America. I'm hopeful that COVID is going to, that we're going to fight it and that we're going to come on the other side of this, because it has been incredibly detrimental to the world and also to America.
All right, y'all. That was my friend, homegirl, entrepreneur, model, producer. I mean, she does everything. That was Ashley Graham. And that does it for this week's episode of Back to Biz with Katie and Bose. But you can check out more of our episodes and our roster of very impressive guests at Apple Podcasts, the iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your favorite shows. And for more of what Katie and I are up to, as well as our favorite moments from these conversations, go find and follow us on Instagram. I'm Bozema St. John, and this is Back to Biz with Katie and Bose. Thanks so much for listening.
Back to Biz with Katie and Bose is a production of iHeartRadio and Katie Couric Media. The executive producers are Katie Couric, Bozema St. John, and Courtney Litz. The supervising producer is Lauren Hansen. The associate producers are Derek Clements, Eliza Costas, and Emily Pinto. Editing by Derek Clements and Lauren Hansen. Mixing by Derek Clements. Special thanks to Adriana Fazio. For more information about today's episode, go to katiecouric.com. You can also follow Katie Couric and Bozema St. John on Twitter and Instagram. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.